I'm going to pick up in Matthew chapter 5 and going to begin in verse 13. We focus so much on going to heaven and we focus so much on being saved, but there's an implication to that, and there's a strong implication to what that means. He doesn't just save you to save you. Scripture is very clear that he saves you for his own purpose. So so as man has been condemned and man lives this ruthless life and has this deceitful heart and takes on religion, and through religion they think that because of what man tells them to do through religion that they somehow become pleasing to a God that you cannot please. We have a God that you cannot please. Do you understand that? You cannot please him. It's impossible to please God in the flesh, and that comes from Scripture. So we have to understand that there's got to be more to life than religion. There's got to be more to it than just following what man tells you to do. This is how you please God. Well, if you do this, this will be pleasing to God. If you do this, this will be pleasing. God is not pleased with works. God is pleased with his works. And if we're his workmanship, he's pleased with Christ in us. He's not pleased with us at all. And so until we come to that biblical truth, we can't even begin to understand what this is all about. So one of the responsibilities you have, in beginning in chapter 5, verse 13, you are the salt of the earth. So what does that mean, that you're the salt of the earth? Well, what is the purpose of salt? Okay, several purposes, isn't it? It's to season, okay, right? I mean, if you put just the right amount of salt on something, it tastes better, right? If I put too much salt on it, will I eat it? If I don't put any salt on it, I may not eat it. So this is about having the right amount of salt, being the right kind of salt. In the world, religion is like taking the whole salt shaker and pour it on somebody's head, and they run from that. Who am I to judge another and say, oh, you need God? God is the one that judged us and said we all need this reconciliation. It's not for me to determine in my walk in life who needs it, who doesn't need it. It's a blanket statement that we all need it. Now, when do we need it? See, that's the question, is when do we need it? God has to prepare that field to receive his heart. It's not something I can bash and something I can just overload somebody with all this scripture and all this God stuff and tell the story about God and keep telling the story about Jesus. At some point, it's got to take on a personal aspect in our life. And let me tell you about my struggle with Jesus. Let me tell you about my struggle. You see, because in the flesh, and to become flesh, to become spirit, there's going to be a struggle. It doesn't just blanket happen. There's got to be a discipleship that happens. There's got to be a believing that allows me to make this a priority in my life. If I believe in Jesus and I believe what the Bible says about Jesus, then I put it in the forefront of my life. It becomes important, okay? It becomes that thing that drives me, and I make all my decisions in life based upon what Scripture says. When Paul says he's a prisoner, I mean, it means that he's given up his own ability and rights. When you become a child of God, you have no rights. Wow, how many people want to be a child of God? Nobody, okay? You mean I'm going to give up my rights? Yeah, you give up your rights. You take on a whole different purpose in life when you become the church of the Lord Jesus Christ and you become a child of God. Now, if you just want to be a religious person, you live your life like you want, you do a few good things, you feel good about it, but ultimately you're still going to stand before him. He's going to say, depart from me, I never knew you. You can't just take part of the scriptures and make a doctrine out of it, which is what most of the denominations have done. You have to read it all. And when he tells us that you're the salt of the earth, it doesn't mean that you get to decide to be the salt. you are that salt of the earth. You're going to be who God uses, and God is the one that needs to sprinkle the salt shaker. Okay? When he sprinkles it, it'll be proper timing, and it'll be a proper amount. This is his work, not my work. This is his ministry, not my ministry. The fact that he allows me to be a part of it is mind-blowing to me. There's the fact that why in the world would he even allow me to be a part of this? But until I come to the realization of what I've been called into, you've not been called into heaven, you've been called into service. It's amazing how many people are sitting in church this morning and there's no service in their life. And I'm not talking about going to the food bank. I'm not talking about going on mission trips. Okay? I'm talking about being the salt of the earth. Okay? I'm talking about having that seasoning that when you're around people, there's a seasoning around you that sets you apart from the rest of the world. But if the salt becomes tasteless, how can it become salty again? Well, the answer to that is it can't. Okay? Matter of fact, the scriptures even goes a little bit further and says if someone has been enlightened to the goodness of God and they turn back from it, that they can't be reinstated, they can't be enlightened again. See, we don't tell people that because it might offend them. It should put the fear of God in you. And the fact that if you live your life and then now you've turned from that, it says in Scripture you can't be turned back. Oh, but God's gracious. He's merciful. He gives love to everyone. Well, how come when you stand before him, he says, depart from me? See, I think we've given this blanket love and this blanket mercy of God in the wrong perspective. When you got things like this, if you're the salt and you become tasteless, and how do you become tasteless? By diluting it. Matter of fact, I went online to see what would make salt tasteless, and I think lemon juice, tomato. I think there's tomato juice. There's certain things you could put in there that you can no longer could taste the salt. So when we take the sins of the world and we bring them into the church, or we take the sins of the world and bring them into our life, then the salt has become tasteless. Do you understand what I'm saying? Is that we can't live like the world. We can't have the same ideas of the world. We can't have the same philosophies of the world. We can have no philosophy of man. If you're the salt of this earth, then the philosophy of man has to be thrown away. Okay? You were bought with a price. You are not your own. Did you not know that? I mean, I think that's what Scripture says, doesn't it? Isn't that what it says? You're not your own. You're bought with a price. So understand what this means. So it says when it becomes tasteless, it says it's no longer good for anything. So what does that mean? See, I think sometimes we skip over these things. What does it mean that you're no good for anything anymore? That means nothing. That means, see, with God, it almost doesn't get it. See, we live in a world of almost. And we've accepted that degree of almost. Well, they tried. Well, did they try their best? Or did they just try? Did they give it their all? Or did they just show up? And we've accepted in our world today, just show up, just be breathing. Okay? With no effort. God expects us to put effort forth in why he saved you. He didn't save you to go to heaven. There is nowhere in Scripture that he say he saved you to go to heaven. He saved you to be the righteousness of God and to be used as the salt of the earth, to not become tasteless, which means we have to stand firm on the word of God and tell people, thus saith the Lord, when they ask, thus saith the Lord. I don't care if it doesn't matter if it offends you. It's not here to make you happy. It's here so that you come to the revelation and the realization that you're lost. And you're going to die and go to hell and spend eternity there where the worm never dies, the thirst is never quenched, and then at the end times thrown in the lake of fire. I think we've forgotten to tell people this. I think we've forgotten to tell the church this. I think the church doesn't know this today. We have so focused on one particular aspect of God and one particular point that we have forgotten the rest of the story, if you want to call it a story. I call it facts. I call it God's warning to us. I call it God's love letter. But it's also God's instruction on what he expects. He didn't save you just because he has a fuzzy feeling in his heart for you. He saved you for a purpose. And that purpose is that we're to be that salt of the earth. And when we accept all the sins of the world, and when churches begin to condone the sins of this world and bring them in and say everybody's welcome, everybody is not welcome. But the paradox is everybody is welcome. He died for all the world. But unfortunately, all the world will not get to see this because they've not put the other aspects of Scripture into play in their life. They've not become the disciple. We've allowed discipleship to be the main same as salvation. Discipleship is not the same as salvation. Can prove it in Scripture. Okay? It's through that discipleship that the wind comes, that the Holy Spirit comes and lives in your life at some point, and no man can determine that. Only God has the right and the responsibility to determine that in our life. So if we're not good for anything anymore, what is the next step? Trampled underfoot by men. And that's what's being happened in our churches today when the church no longer stands, or they become hypocritical and only pick certain sins to attack instead of all have sinned and come short of God's glory. We're all equal in that sense in God's eyes. And yet when we just pick on one sin and we make a platform out of that one sin, we're hypocritical. So when you become hypocritical, you have become tasteless. The hypocrisy in today's religion and the hypocrisy in today's church has reached the ears of God, and he is disgusted with all of us because we don't take this seriously. We've allowed religion to say you just do it when you want to. You just do it when you want to. When you're an ambassador for Christ, you're his spokesman. You represent something greater than you. You don't get to speak for him. You speak what he tells you to speak. You do what he tells you to do. He's written a lot of do's in here. How many of us, being the spokesman for God, would cancel your own plans if God came up and said, hey, I need you to go talk to somebody, or somebody's needing you, or they bring somebody your way, that you would cancel your plans? It's a hard question to ask, isn't it? Okay, we're all going to have the Peter syndrome here. I'd do it. Well, this week it might happen. Let's see if you do it. Huh? God knows how to humble us when we get real arrogant in our relationship with him, doesn't he? Huh? How really important is this to us, that we really take it to heart and make it our life instead of something? Is it something you are, or is it something you just do? I mean, and that, I think that's the question to ask the world today and the churches today. Is it just something you do, or is it something that you are? Because if it's something that you do, it's going to not last, and it's going to have devastating consequences at the end. But to be trampled underfoot by men, I was just reading this morning that there was this, in Kentucky, there's this girl that she had put some illicit things, don't look at me like that, Terry. She looked some illicit things about in her, girls went on, I guess, a trip or something, and how she would please a man and all this kind of stuff, and it went viral, where her father's the pastor of a church. You represent Christ. you live matters. How you fight the battle matters. And God won't let you fight it in the flesh. He'll let you fail. It's got to be through the Spirit of God. And if you're not a child of God, you're going to fail. But that's good to fail. Did you know it's good to fail? You know why it's good to fail? Because then you turn to Him and say, God, I have failed. I have tried to please You in every manner that I can, and it still comes up short. Why, Lord? And then He'll lead you to that passage of Scripture that says, you can't please Me in the flesh. First comes flesh and then comes spirit. The natural man can understand spiritual things. They're spiritually appraised. One cannot worship God because He is spirit. And you must become spirit and worship Him in spirit and truth. Jesus is the truth and the way. He's the only way to God. That all comes from Scripture. Wow. You're the light of the world. What's the light for? If it's used properly, it's to show guidance so we can see. If I shine an LED light in your eyes, what does it do? It blinds you and you do what? Turn away. See, you got to have the proper amount of light and the right light. And the light has to be shown at the proper time. Didn't we just hear that about the salt? See how this works? If I am just an instrument of God, and He's the one that turns on the switch and turns off the switch when it needs to be turned off. But if you're the light of the world, you're not the judge of the world. You're just simply shining the light by the way you live. And when God works in their life and they ask you, then you've got the responsibility to tell them that this is not right. That it's not my opinion. And I hate when people say, well, what do you think about this in the Bible? And I tell them, I don't think anything about the Bible. I have no opinion about it. You know, I have no opinion about God's Word. I have zero opinion about it. But I can tell you what it says. Because see, my opinion doesn't matter. Your opinion really doesn't matter. As you become the light of the world, you simply shed the light. I mean, it says darkness will come to light. It sheds on that sin in our life. That's what the Word of God is. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Why did the light come? Why was it light to the man? And it shone in darkness, but they didn't receive it. Why do we not like reading Scripture? Why do we not like truth in the human nature that we are? Because it reflects on what we are. And nobody likes what they are. You should hate what you are. I didn't say hate you. It's not a malicious hate. It's a hate state, the being that you're in. You hate that nature that you were born with, that your mother and father so graciously bestowed upon you. But yet, our Heavenly Father is willing to bestow something else upon us if we do it the way that He says you have to do it. And there's no other way to do it but the way He says do it. Not the way that any denomination says do it, but the way He says do it. And the truth of your new birth experience will be when His Spirit wears witness your spirit and the fruits of the Spirit grow, and then you become useful. It says if the fruits of the Spirit are not growing in your life, you're not useful. Just because you go to the food bank, mission trips, and do all those good things and whatever you're doing humanitarian-wise, this is not about a humanitarian effort. This is about a spiritual battle. It's a battle over souls that are going to die and go to hell because the church has become quiet on this matter. And the church has become saltless. The church has become a blinding light, not a guiding light. And we pat ourselves on the back. Look what we're doing for God. And see, if God's not doing something for you, then you're worthless in doing something for God. You're a light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. That's the other thing that bothers me about people that are children of God. They call themselves the light of the world, and yet they never shine. When the world problems come, guess what? They follow the same regimen that the world tells them to follow. COVID was a very good example of that. The only reason COVID happened was also to show us what's going to happen at the end times, how controllable we'll be by a government, by a one world government, by the Antichrist, and how the world so consumed on saving their own physical life, they forget about their spiritual life. God is giving us warnings. He's preparing us for the end times. And yet, we are oblivious to the truths of God in Scripture. Isn't that amazing? And then you wonder why we're in the mess we're in, and you wonder why your life is in the mess it is, because you haven't applied Scripture to it. You cannot sit here and continue to go through life just taking this as a fantasy story. You better get serious about it. You better mourn over it. You better repent. You better seek God's advice. You better seek His comfort. You better seek all of this stuff. But yet you are called to be a light to others. And how can you be a light to others when you yourself are not being guided by the light? It's not my light at all. It's His light. Nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but it's put on a lampstand. You ought to be proud of who you are. In spite of all the conflict and in spite of all the stuff that will come your way, you ought to be proud to shine that light. Not boastful. There's a difference in being proud of it and humble proud. Don't be boastful about your light. The light should make you humbled to the point that your light shines gently to the path of someone that's lost. And the light should always lead to Jesus Christ, who is the way who leads to God. See, Jesus was a light, and what does Jesus lead to? The relationship with the Father, not a relationship with just Him. We focus so much on a relationship with Christ, but if that relationship doesn't lead to the relationship of the Father, then you don't have the right Jesus in your life. You have one of those fake Jesus that Paul talked about that would come in our day. He gives light to all who are in the house. So what that means is that wherever I go, it's how I live, how I speak, how I react. People know that the light is there. Do you have to tell them you're the light? Or does the light so shine that they know the light is there? Think about it for 2 seconds. See, I always tell people, if people come in and tell me they go to church and they're a Christian, stay away from them. And the reason you do that is because the only way that you'll know that they're a Christian is because they told you, because you won't know it by their actions. Your actions should be so pure and so in tune to God that you don't have to tell someone. I went to lunch this week with a gentleman. He kept calling, and this is a gentleman called, I guess, 4, 5, 6 weeks ago, and said, "Oh, you were out there mowing, and the Lord told me to come visit you. Come to over and meet you." So I said, "Okay, well, whatever. I'm busy. I don't have time for this." But anyway, he kept saying, "Well, we need to get together." So I'm going to get together. So I met with him on Thursday. We got together. And he said, "Well, I originally wanted to see if you were willing to sell your farm." He said, because all these houses being born up like that. And then he goes, "Well, where do you," and I didn't tell him, he goes, "Where do you go to church?" And I had to explain to him, I don't go to church. See, these are opportunities. I don't know how this happened or why it happened, but I knew that I had to meet with this guy. I knew that God did not drop it for a reason. And this guy didn't even know why he was showing up. But I had to explain to him why I don't go to church. I hate going to church because I don't go to church. I am the church. And it takes on a whole different meaning than if I go to church. Just like I explained to him, if I go to Walmart, I'm not a shopper until I buy something, and then I'm a shopper. So if I don't come here and worship, I'm not a worshiper. If I'm not born again, I can't be a worshiper. Okay? And so I don't go to church. And we've allowed our world to take that nomenclature of going to the church. Well, you need to become the church, and you need to come to worship. And we talked about that for a while. And then we got to talking about being born again. And how, you know, he says, I was born a Baptist. He said, I used to go. Obviously, he doesn't go anymore. And as he used a couple cuss words in our conversation. I like these people that tell me they're children of God, and you listen to them and talk to them for a little bit, and all of a sudden they start cussing. I don't care that you cuss. I care that you don't care that you cuss. Okay? Does that make sense? Huh? But again, you just the test of time and watching people, and they say, oh, I'm this and I'm that, and then it just doesn't take long to defute that when you compare their life. Because see, if you tell me you're a child of God, and then I get to judge you according to Scripture. If you're lost, I can't judge you because you belong to another. You belong to God, and who am I to judge another? But when you become a child of God, I have the right, and as your pastor, I have the authority. Oh, you don't like that, do you? You don't have no authority over me, then you're not a child of God. Because a child of God, God puts under authority. He puts under authority under the pastor, and the pastor is under authority of Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ is under the authority of Almighty God, and this is how this works. And we have lost that in our world today. And then, finishing up, because I don't want to hold you too long, it goes on to say, let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who's in heaven. And glorify your Father who's in heaven. It's not about me. I gave that up. See, I tried that religion stuff. I can understand why people walk away from it. I can see why people that look at me dressed up coming to worship and be in the church, and they never get to see that because all they look at me is a religious fella. We have so been tainted in our world today that no one gets to see the true light. They see a blinding light, and they want nothing to do with it. All they see is judgment, and all they see, I don't have a right to tell anybody they're doing anything wrong. If they're not convicted by the Holy Spirit and it's not a conviction of God, then they can't come to the saving knowledge of who He is. And if they ask me, then I am to be that utensil that God uses in a loving, gentle manner to say, it doesn't matter what I think. Here's what God says. And unless you turn from those ways, you will suffer the wrath of God. And that's what we're to share with people. We're shared the whole gospel is the fact that that God loved us so it wouldn't suffer His wrath. But we leave that part off, do we not? This is important stuff. And if you all don't begin, and I don't take it seriously, and we don't begin to apply this in our life in the way that it is meant to be applied, then we'll never have that joy that God gives us. And so many people that call themselves Christians, and of course, you know, I don't like that term either, because you're a disciple or you're a child of God. And those are two terms that God uses for us. He never used the term Christian for us. We were called Christians at Antioch. You suffer as a Christian are the only two times a Christian's used in Scripture, and it was a derogatory term that they used as a follower of Christ, but it never was coined by and never will be coined by Holy God. And it's become a religion, and that's a sad part of our world. So, and again, I'll ask you, as I asked those on Wednesday night, we should come on Wednesday night. I wish it was important enough that we'd all be here. But listen to the sermons in your quiet time. Not that they're great sermons, but they're words of God. Not that I'm a great speaker, but the fact that these are truths of God. And sit down with the Holy Spirit by yourself. and let him speak to you, because it's your soul that's at risk, and it doesn't matter what you think. Paul said, it doesn't matter that I don't know of anything I've got against me, but it doesn't make me acquitted. Great biblical principle, truth is there. It's not that we come to the conclusion that we're saved, it's that God tells us that we're saved. Neat stuff.